Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our second online service during this Lent season. I hope and pray that you're all doing well at home with your family members, and I'm thankful that you can take the time to join us as we still worship together. So let's begin the service with the same words of Matthew 11:28 that seems so appropriate during this difficult time. Come, all that are weary, all that are carrying burdens so heavy, Jesus will give us rest. Come, take what Jesus has to offer, love, forgiveness, and grace. Christ will give us peace. Come, find rest and learn from Jesus, for our Savior will give us rest in our souls. Come, let us worship our God. Let us follow our Savior who leads us into life. Our scripture reading for today comes from Luke 4, verses 16 to 21. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So far our reading. About a mile off the coast of southeastern France, there sits a tiny island at the end of the Frio Archipelago. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. This tiny island is comprised only of a single fortress built back in the 1520s. It's called the Chateau d'If. The fortress is heavily fortified with three towers and high walls overlooking the steep cliffs that drop straight into the ocean. The island and the fortress served as a military station for a time, but it's most famous for being used as a prison. Its isolated location and dangerous offshore currents made it ideal for preventing escape. In the 19th century, the Chateau d'If was used to detain political and religious enemies of the state. The accommodations were dismal and crude. Life in this island prison was grim, making it one of the most feared and notorious jails in the 19th century. The lower dungeon cells were dug out deep beneath the fortress, with no windows and no chance of contact with the outside world. The prison actually became internationally famous in the 19th century when Alexandre Dumas used it as a setting for his novel, The Count of Monte Cristo. If you've read the book or even seen the movie, you know that the main character of Dumas' classic does, in fact, escape the prison. But that just proves it was a work of fiction. As long as it was a functioning prison, no one ever escaped the Chateau d'If. Its captives had no chance, no way out, and no hope. Captivity, like those captive in the prison, was not uncommon in the scriptures. Multiple times, the people of God experienced what it meant to be held captive. There was slavery in Egypt in the days of Moses. They labored under the strong and unsympathetic hands of Pharaoh. They suffered greatly at the hands of brutal taskmasters, and they cried out to God for deliverance. There was the captivity in Babylon after King Nebuchadnezzar sacked Jerusalem and forced the people into exile. They had been taken from their homeland and compelled to live under foreign laws in a foreign land. In the days of Jesus, they lived under the thumb of the Roman Empire and its governors and rulers. The people of God knew captivity. So did individuals. In the Old Testament, we read about Joseph and Jeremiah and Daniel spending time in prison. In the New Testament, it was John the Baptist and the apostles Peter and Paul. None of these people were residents of Shadow Deef, but they knew what it meant to be held captive. They knew what it meant to long for freedom. They understood the helplessness experienced by those who had little or no hope of escape. Now, unlike them, we fortunately live in a land where we are free. We are not captive. We don't serve foreign masters. We enjoy the freedom of living in a country where we can do whatever we want. While that might be not fully true during this corona time, but even now, we're not captives. We might feel like it. The truth is, we're not. It's not the same. We have hope. We live under our own rule, under our own sovereign rights, fully autonomous and entirely independent. Right? Maybe not. Some of you might have guessed we're not that free. We still live in a system of relatively self-governance. But this doesn't mean we are free from captivity. Indeed, today, I'd like to help you consider the fact that we do, in fact, know what it means to be captive, to be imprisoned, to live under submission to a foreign master. But it's a different kind of captivity than being in a prison. We may live in a country where we are free, but we are imprisoned by more insidious masters. We're imprisoned by things like greed, lust, a desire for more. We suffer from an insatiable longing for more stuff, more pleasure, more recognition. It's the father who can't stop talking, who can't stop taking on more at work, either because he needs more and more money to keep his family's standard of living, or because his reputation is never secure enough to let him relax. It's the woman who can't stop filling her closet, who can't stop working out because she's captive to an image of herself from 10 or 15 years ago. And the same can be true for guys too. It's the teenager who can't stop checking Instagram because they need more likes. Or they're imprisoned by their phone and the images that it delivers so easily. Images of people with a better life. These people are captive, not in a stone prison or a foreign land, but they're just as stuck, just as confined, just as helpless. And I think we can all understand this feeling a little bit right now. There are other prisons too. The unhealthy relationship you can't get out of. The addictive behavior that again and again overpowers your force of will and makes you feel powerless. The dead-end job that you can't live with, but you also can't live without. I'm afraid we know captivity far too well. We just don't always recognize it. This Lent, we are trying to find ways to confess the gospel in short summaries. We're trying to find words, 7 words to be exact, with which we might proclaim what God has done for us in Christ. There are actually many ways in which we might do this. As we read the scripture, we encounter many images and metaphors and descriptions of God and his work of salvation. We read about the good shepherd rescuing lost sheep. We read about the suffering servant taking on our punishment. We read about God speaking through a prophet to breathe life into dry bones. We read about the Lamb of God reigning on his throne. Any of these could help us summarize the gospel in 7 words. Today, I'd like to do this exercise with our various prisons in mind. As we do so, a reading from Luke provides some direction. In Luke 4:16 to 21, we read about one of Jesus' first recorded sermon. We'll read it again. Here's how Luke puts it. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled the scroll up and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now, you might have noticed that was a little bit different than the version we read before, but that was from the Living Version. I like to have the different versions so we can sort of see at a different perspective. But when Jesus said these things, the people marveled. They wondered. They were amazed at the authority with which Jesus spoke. I believe that one of the reasons for their marveling was the imagery that Jesus picked up from Isaiah that was so poignant. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set them free. One way to describe the good news of Jesus is that he frees his people. He frees you and me from captivity, all forms of captivity. Earlier, I mentioned a number of prisons in which we live. Greed, popularity, addiction. But behind them all is sin. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. In that chapter, he describes his experience as a Christian. He describes how badly he wants to live faithfully, but how the sin in his heart compels him to follow its desires. In the end, he recognizes how hopeless and how helpless he truly is. "Wretched man that I am," he laments. "Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who can secure his release? Who can deliver him from guilt and shame? Who can rescue him from a life of service to sin?" God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thanks be to God who freed Paul, who frees us from all that imprisons us. real and imagined. Sin, death, despair, selfishness. He has freed us through his life and death and his resurrection. And he continues to free us from every single prison, every single master, every single captor. That's it. Seven words. How might we confess the gospel today? Jesus frees us from all our prisons. In Psalm 34, David wrote, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." And that's something many of us need. We're scared, we're worried, and we feel like our spirits have been crushed. But the Lord is near. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Brothers and sisters, the good news is that Jesus frees us from all that holds us captive. Through the might of his word and for his glory and our good, Jesus frees us from sin and death and the devil so that we might live in him in freedom and love. True freedom and love. So that we might share this freedom with those still suffering in captivity. Jesus frees us from all our prisons. And he frees them too, as we proclaim this good news to them. There's one more way to confess the gospel, but don't let this stop you from thinking of other ways. Keep working on your own confessions. Keep reflecting on God's love in Christ, and keep preparing to share the hope you have in Christ. The world needs it now, more than ever. It may be hard to share with people as we are alone, but we can pray, and we can know the peace, and we can prepare. Because after all this happens, when this coronavirus finally calms down, then there's going to be an opportunity for us to show the love and freedom of Christ. Let's prepare and let's know that Jesus frees us from all our prisons. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer for today comes from Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, "My refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that waits at noonday. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the promise of the Lord." Now we take a moment of silence for each of us to bring our prayers to the Lord. Lord, I pray that you will send your spirit upon all your children to give them peace in this scary time, to remind us that even though we worry and fear, we are still in your hands. For that, we give you thanks. We lift up to you all those in need. We pray for healing. We pray for governments to get a handle on this and to for it to be over as quick as possible, for us to return back to our lives. Lord, in this scary time, we just put our faith in you and know that you are our refuge. Amen. The closing blessing for today actually is based upon one given by the Pope recently, and I found it very, very touching. Dear brothers and sisters, I would like to entrust all of you to the Lord, that he would hold you through this stormy sea. Lord, we pray that God's blessing come down upon all those in need, that you embrace them and console them. Lord, may you bless the world, give health to our bodies and comfort our hearts. You ask us not to be afraid, yet our faith is weak and we are fearful. But you, Lord, will not leave us at the mercy of the storm. Tell us again, tell our hearts, do not be afraid. And together we can cast all our anxieties onto you, for you care and love us. Amen.